Quality Heroes, der Podcast über Softwarequalität für agile Köpfe.
Freunde der Qualität, herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge der Quality Heroes. Wie unsere Stammhörer sicher schon richtig erkannt haben, spricht heute nicht wie gewohnt Christian zu euch, sondern eine bisher ganz unbekannte Stimme. Deshalb kurz zu mir, Basti mein Name, seit über 4 Jahren als Softwareentwickler bei den Quality Minds und im Podcast-Team dafür zuständig, die Folgen nach den Aufnahmen zu veredeln. Heute habe ich das Vergnügen, zu euch zu sprechen, da diese Podcast-Folge gleich in mehrfacher Hinsicht ein Experiment für uns darstellt. Zum einen haben wir nicht nur einen anderen Moderator, sondern wir nehmen die heutige Folge erstmals auch in Englisch auf und versuchen euch einen Einstieg in das Thema Was ist Machine Learning und warum sollten wir uns damit näher befassen zu geben. Falls uns das Experiment gelingt, wovon wir ganz stark ausgehen, sind zukünftig weitere englischsprachige Folgen rund um das Thema Machine Learning geplant. Seid also gespannt auf die heutige Folge und gebt uns im Anschluss gerne Feedback, wie es euch gefallen hat. Ich wechsle jetzt zu Englisch und wünsche euch schon mal viel Spaß.
Okay, hello everyone. So, like I just said, this is a kind of an experiment for us. We will have our first podcast episode in English. And the title for this episode is What is Machine Learning and Why Should We Have a Closer Look? And as I'm a totally kind of novice in machine learning, I have no idea what it is. I mean, of course, I know some movies and I have some crazy science fiction ideas in my mind, but I have no idea what machine learning is. Therefore, I invited my colleague Namrata. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So, yeah, Namrata, just like we do in every episode, let us just know who you are, what you're doing, why you're a Quality Minds, and a little bit stuff like this.
Sure. So thanks for the introduction. And yeah, so I am Namrata. I am working as a data scientist at Quality Minds since this year. Specifically, I'm working with Kai Absicherung, where I'm working on autonomous driving, looking at corner cases. And a bit of background about myself, I've actually been a physicist. And after my PhD last year, I decided to transition to data science. So yeah, this is where I'm at.
Okay, thanks for the introduction. Yeah, let's start with our first question. Can you explain to us or to our audience, what is machine learning in one sentence?
So I will try my best. I would describe machine learning as, you know, the ability of machines to really like learn to perform specific tasks, you know, by training itself on a given set of data along with algorithms that we write. So yeah, that's mainly it. It's literally the word in a sentence.
Okay, that's a kind of a brief overview on what machine learning is. Maybe we can pick up on that and can try to find a more deeper, more closer definition on what is machine learning, and even more interesting, what is not machine learning. Can you give a more detailed explanation on that as well?
Yeah, so before I go into this even deeper, I would like to describe more of the word which is quite common right now is artificial intelligence. And this is basically any system that is able to behave intelligently, you know, just like humans do, for example, making decisions, using logic, and so on. And machine learning is a subset of this artificial intelligence. And we have a couple of examples that I would like to describe eventually. Really here, it's something that it's self-learning. So the machines, once you describe a certain algorithm, they self-learn depending on the data you give. So you're not writing down very specific if-else rules, right? So that's a very rule-based learning. So that's not really machine learning. But yeah, if it can train itself, then it is a machine learning task.
Okay, so what do you mean with train itself? How does it work? How do I have to imagine this?
I wish I could go into more details, for example, how neural networks are built, for example. But in the beginning, I will describe a very specific example, for example, of a supervised learning. So in this case, we have data, and then we're performing, let's say, a very simple task of classification. So what do we do with the data? So let's say a good sentence or a bad sentence. This is, you know, easy to classify. Is this a good sentence, like, or not? Or is it a bad sentence or not? So what you do is you have to label your data. So every sentence is probably labeled as a 1 or a 0. And then this is your training data. And then there are certain neural network architectures that you put the system through. For example, the machine learns or computer algorithm learns whether a specific sentence should be a 0 or a 1. And you save some part of the data as like test set. So if the machine has learned for a certain number of, you know, for example, 5,000 sentences, and then eventually maybe on the 1,000 sentences it's never seen, we try the model again to predict whether or not it will correctly predict as a 0 or a 1, or a good or a bad sentence. And then that's how you then measure accuracy or other scores of measurement, whether it was, you know, did it perform well or not? Did it really learn something or not? So it often happens that if you stop also quite early, like it's learning over time. So epochs, that's what we call it. If you kind of stop too early, then maybe it's not learned enough. And, you know, if you try it on your test set, then it performs terribly.
Okay.
Sorry, I could go on.
No.
But yeah, so like it's that. And it's also with the data set. If there's not enough data to learn patterns for the machine, then your scores are going to be pretty bad too. Yeah.
Okay. I try to repeat it with my words. Yeah. Machine learning is a subset of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And artificial intelligence in general means it's every system which can behave intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
So, and machine learning is just a part of AI, so to say. And to get the machine to learn something, as far as I understood, you need a set of data. And this data has to be labeled as a 0 and a 1 in whatever this means, good, bad, black, white, whatever you mean. And with this training data, you kind of feed the machine. And then after a certain number of sets, of training sets, you try some non-labeled data and you see the output. And then you try to get an idea, okay, how many of these unknown, let's say, data sets does the machine predict correctly?
Yes. So like when you're testing them, you still have labeled data. So that's how you compare like whether it was correct or not. And then yes, then when you're like, oh, the accuracy is pretty good, let's say, I don't know, 93%. And then you try it on unlabeled data. And those are your results. Yeah.
Okay. So the first, you're feeding the machine with test data. Then you try it with labeled data and see how good the accuracy is. And if it's good enough, then you say, okay, let's go one step further and try with non-labeled data and see if it's
what it predicts.
Same result. What it predicts. Okay. Before we dive deeper into examples of software where machine learning is already used, we have a second kind of question in our podcast title. And this question is, why should we have a closer look on machine learning? Can you try to answer this one? So,
yes. For me, I would say it's important to look at machine learning right now, especially, is because it's almost present in every software device that we use. It's quite common that we use it on an everyday basis, but we are not seeing like, the background of it. We are actually engaging with it, but we don't know where does it come from? Why is it present? Can we use such systems for ourselves, for certain other products that you might want to make or ideas that you might have? So I would say now is like an important time, period in time in general to look at machine learning quite closely.
Okay. Can you give us some examples? I mean, you mentioned that it's used in nearly every kind of software or electronic device we use every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some examples where we are interfering with machine learning without even knowing?
Yes. So I would give quite generic examples, and then maybe we can look at more specific that what is what type of data. But like, yeah, so for example, maybe I go home now and switch on Netflix, and then there are lots of recommendations that start to come up that, you know, maybe you might like this and so on. So this is actually, there is ML in the background. It's looking at what your similarities are to maybe users have also watched certain things that you have watched. So recommendation systems are a type of ML. Then maybe I take an Uber home. So if I'm taking an Uber or ordering something from Lieferando, you have this estimated time of arrival, right? When the cycle card, anything is about to arrive. This is also has ML in the background. And then, for example, if, you know, I have a Google Home or someone might have Alexa or even Siri right now we're recording, this is, you know, speech to text or text to speech recognition. This is also based on machine learning and specifically natural language processing. Yeah. And I'm using DeepL quite often because for Deutsch to English and English to Deutsch translations, this is also based on machine learning in general. Chatbots, you know, some of the websites have these chatbots. They definitely are also machine learning. Some interesting things that I'm currently working, like I mentioned before, is in autonomous driving. Here, machine learning is definitely used quite heavily to, you know, for example, identify who might be pedestrians, what are the road structures or buildings and so on. And even on our phones, you know, you have like face recognition. You're like, oh, these groups belong to this particular person. For example, this is computer vision and machine learning. So this is also machine learning. Even on Amazon, when we are buying something, you know, it has suggestions that, oh, products similar to this, or are you interested in that? This is also machine learning. So yeah, the uses are quite varied.
Wow, that's interesting. There were some parts I didn't know or didn't even think about. I mean, of course, most of us know by now that all this recommendation stuff is, of course, we are classified because of our data, age, gender, whatever, the social network or the shopping site we are on. Is knows about us, and then we are classified, and then other customers also had a look at, or other customers bought it. This is quite easy to, for me to at least to recognize, okay, there might be ML in the end, but like the prediction of the arrival time of an ordering service or something. This was something I thought, okay, they may be calculated, like Google will do it. If you type in a route on Google Maps, it will calculate the time with an average speed. I didn't know that ML is there as well in the background.
Yeah, because you need to have like traffic flows, how are maps being updated, what's happening.
I see.
So there is a continuous
updation. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other example, which I found quite interesting, was this chatbots. I mean, I know that, of course, these chatbots are somehow related to machine learning. But the interesting question is, for me, how do you train something like this? Because it's, I mean, of course, you can ask questions. But as far as I understood, or at least I would expect, if I talk to a chatbot, I type in an answer and he's responding to my answer, but he don't know what I'm typing in. So I can type in, let's say, bullshit, and then it has to realize, okay, he's not serious or whatever. This is probably hard to train, yeah, to identify, yeah.
So this is exactly why, like, this natural language processing NLP that I talk about is a big field. And that's why it's crazy, because, you know, to understand sarcasm, for example, or these other things, it's quite hard. Even for humans, it's hard. So, you know, you're telling machines to do the same. It's quite intensive, but there are some really good other kinds of models that are available. People can even, you know, have a look at Hugging Face, for example. There are many transformer models and pre-trained models that they have trained such that, one, you can identify certain entities like, oh, is this an organization? Is this a person? And right now, you can even, like, understand context. So you can really understand context. Oh, what is this context about? So there are, like, other kinds of applications where you have, like, summarization of a whole paper done by an AI machine.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's quite interesting.
You talked about this NLP, which was this natural language processing, right?
Yeah.
And this is everything related to...
Text data. Yeah.
Or speech,
yeah.
Spoken words as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other big part, it was computer vision. What do you mean with that? What is this?
So this is mainly dealing with image data. So all kinds of facial recognition, autonomous driving, and so on, where you're recognized through images and you understand patterns through images. That's related with computer vision.
Do you have some more specific examples for this both versions? So... for computer vision and NLP?
Yeah, I think I briefly described in all the examples, like some were computer vision related and some were NLP related. So computer vision, typical examples are, like I said, autonomous vehicles, facial recognition. There's also used, for example, in smart farming. Like, you know, you can do irrigation to different parts of the land depending on the crops. This you can maybe identify using drones and you have images. Maybe you've seen like videos of also like how these machines segregate apples, like green apples in one and then red apple in one. This classification task is also being performed with AI in general or ML, computer vision task. And also like in like medical, institutes, they also use, for example, you have images, you have tons of images, for example, of, you know, brain, and you're trying to identify if there's a tumor or not. You know, if you train your model well enough, then it should be able to identify, oh, this is, something which is out of order, and this could be a tumor or something. So this is one of the other examples of computer vision. Yeah, and with NLP, I think I mentioned with chatbots, text to speech, speech to text, named entity recognition and translation, or anything regarding text data.
Yeah, one example for this which comes to my mind is this auto-generated subtitles for any videos.
Yeah.
Are there any other examples for everyday interactions with ML?
There was something else I wanted to mention. So, for example, in our Google Mail also, you know, some are classified as spam and some not by default, right? This is also ML in action. It is doing a certain classification task because it knows where, you know, it's coming from or its patterns. And similarly, credit card fraud, how do you detect that? You also look at these patterns like, okay, something's fishy here or why is it occurring? So this kind of systems, it's also used in finances. So for example, in prediction, oh, how's the stock markets going? So there are, I don't want to go in details, but there are, you know, models available that according to how things are happening on several stock markets, you can buy stocks or, you know, sell them according to it, and predictions depending on the past data, then you do predictions accordingly. So that's something, and maybe later we discuss a bit more on optimization problems where things can be optimized best, like so right now we talked about selling stocks or buying stocks, but yeah, for other things too. So this is quite more examples of ML.
I just want to make sure that these are still predictions.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
as far as I know, no one can say how the market is going.
Yes.
So it's not that my computer told me I should buy this kind of stock and then it crashes down and then you blame your computer. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's still just a prediction.
This is just like, I guess, weather forecasting. But weather forecasting also uses machine learning. And I think recently, I think Google released their latest MNET 2.0. But yeah, this is one of, yeah, even trained on another neural network. So yes.
Wow.
It's quite present everywhere.
To sum it up, it's quite a lot stuff where ML is used. And yeah, and even in many things, I didn't realize, like, the weather forecast, I never thought that they already using ML for this.
Mm-hmm. So it's a mixture, like someone still use like physics based, and now they're trying to implement if they could also use ML. So yeah, wherever it can go, it goes.
Yeah, so I think one of the main fields where AI is used a lot are kind of social media and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that Facebook, Google, Amazon, or whoever you want to call, they use it heavily. Can you try to explain what's the advantage of using it in this part?
Okay, so there are many parts. Right now, data is like currency, right? The more data you have, the more you understand your customer better. So social media is just one of the places where you do have a lot of information about, you know, a certain person, for example. And through them, we can really like map out what are their likes, dislikes, things they might be interested in. So, you know, it's not uncommon that we are thinking about something or we have talked about something and it starts to appear on many different channels for us, like, oh, this is what we wanted and so on. Because there is, you know, you are a data point with several attributes, you know, of your likes and dislikes. So this is how, like, social media, in that sense, has a lot of your information, right? But it will also prod you maybe to even buy, you know, certain products and so on. But sometimes it can be helpful because for me, like I look at certain videos on YouTube, and the more I watch it, the more things like that get recommended. So it's good for me if I'm learning a particular topic, so I get more of that. So it's just more like personalization, I would say. It's the more attributes I can get from your social media.
There is this ongoing discussion, I would say, if this is a good thing or a bad. I mean, on one side, you're right. If I'm interested in something, then I want to see more of this stuff. That's good. But on the other hand, at least as far as I know, you rarely see the opposite side.
Yeah.
I can totally understand that no one wants to show me something that I'm not interested in because I don't click there and I don't buy there. But for, let's say, political stuff, and so it would probably be good to see also a different viewpoint. This is a big danger,
and it's called like an echo chamber phenomena, because then you're classified into certain groups and so on, and you're in this echo chamber where what you say is being echoed back to you, and that grows. So right now you can see the divides are maybe even more stronger than it would have been, because there's no this mixing. I mean, natural mixing is a little bit biased for that. Maybe people can watch Social Dilemma on Netflix, but anyway.
Okay, so maybe this is one point we it would be good to do some improvements on how to use ML.
Yeah, there is certain like companies, for example, bursting your bubble, you can do that. You literally click that button and, you know, it kind of resets what are the things around you. News, for example, especially, it can do that. But yeah, I think that there is a lot of ethics and so on. There's a whole community that is working on this very particular topics. How do we prevent this? And data security, for example. I don't want to share my data. Then what do you do?
So how can we use ML for, I would call it, good reasons?
Yes. So one of the projects, our partner projects is working on is, for example, how do you optimize. So you have several slabs. It's a company where you have several slabs and are shipping containers. You need to move these slabs from, you know, one place to another. So you need to manage somehow the timing, right? So when should we send out some? When should we get some? When is the most heavy time, or there is maybe traffic, like shipping traffic or something. So, you know, things can be delayed. So a lot of optimization can be done here in those terms. In this way, it's good. One, we can create good predictors. So when should we get a ship, or when should we send it out, and when should certain slabs come in, for example. And this creates a very agile process, because you're continuously developing or looking at patterns that, you know, might evolve in time, and accordingly predicting what's the next best action to do, instead of like maintaining very rule-based and specific tasks, which, you know, might fail completely. So definitely it helps in the agility of any kind of process it is that you're working on.
Let's get back to one thing you mentioned in the beginning, that you need a kind of training data. Is there anything you have to keep in mind when you are setting up your training data, or can you feed the machine anything you like, and or do you have to think about this stuff?
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, should be very, it's a, like a careful step that one should really look at, is because one of the specific examples, like classification data, you can introduce biases just because your training data is quite biased. So there might be like 70%, 30%, you know, so 70% are apples, 30% are oranges, for example. And then in the end, your classification task is it an apple or an orange? Just because of probability and how your data set is split, it's not balanced. So it's going to say, oh, it will predict apples more than orange, you know. But this bias really just comes from the training data, and this is not a balanced data set anymore. And this is important to keep in mind while we're doing tasks which could, you know, have repercussions which are huge, but people haven't looked at the training data. You're like, you know, who is making a criminal offense, for example. If your data is biased towards a certain ethnicity and so on, this is, you know, not good, for example. And there have been projects where there was prediction, for example, who's going to be a CEO. And then your data itself is quite biased because there's more male than female. Then, you know, the prediction will be also around that, which is, yeah, go back to the data.
At this point, we still need humans to have a look on the data. And especially because it's a podcast mostly for quality, for software quality. So this is the point where you make sure that you have a high quality on your training data. And this cannot be done with machines, or should I say not yet?
Yeah, I think there's still a human eye needed. And that's why we have a term, it's called the golden data set. So which are really nicely labeled and so on, and makes sense, yeah. So we still need golden data sets.
So the machines won't take us over in the next 2 years, because if we train them with the wrong data, they are never able to make it. So yes, we still have a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking about the future, what do you think is, where is machine learning going to take us? What is going to happen with it in the next 5, 10, 15, 100 years? I don't know.
Wow, that's a lot of different time scales, and a lot can happen.
Okay, then just pick one or two.
Yeah, so I would say like machine learning, like I already expressed, is quite present in a lot of the softwares and we use, and other systems, optimization problems, for example, being used in industries. This is going to become even more ubiquitous. So whether it's industries, whether it's even social impact, like, you know, right now they're training how to stop hate speech, for example, in YouTube comments, they can do. So this applications of machine learning are going to be huge in the upcoming years. And my personal project, or like my personal favorite, is in the sense, because I'm working on autonomous driving. I do believe within probably the next 10 or 15 years, hopefully, maybe it might take a bit longer, that we can have at least lanes for autonomous vehicles occurring. And the future is kind of shifting, I would say, more towards human doing more the creative part of the jobs, and some of the things which can be performed by machines will all be performed by machines. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. It's for me, if you ask me, I don't know. I would not really afraid of, but I have the idea in mind. I mean, have you seen the movie Minority Report?
Yeah.
So this is, for me, it's something like, oh my God, I hope the future won't be like this, that some computer is telling this person is going to do a crime in about 5 minutes, so arrest him now, and this is just crazy.
Yes, yes, indeed. Parts of it might become true. Like, for example, you know, how do machines aid humans? But I still think we have a long way to go. For example, it doing 100%, you know, accuracy in all tasks. So humans are still required in aiding. What I can for sure say is it will reduce the amount of time it takes for humans to perform a particular task, because a lot of the, you know, kind of mundane or easy to do parts are done by machines. Sometimes with context, like even machines are doing quite well now. So yeah, we might enter gray zones, but I think it's only to aid humans better.
Okay, so looking at our cheat sheet here, I think we talked about nearly everything we want to talk about. Or did we miss something? Do you have something in mind or something you wanna tell the world?
There's one thing I did want to mention. So machine learning is not something which is happening, you know, behind the scenes by very, very tech-savvy people, you know, who are very math or physics-oriented people. Of course, there's a majority of them who are in it. But I believe it's come to a point where anyone who has, like, creative ideas, whether you're coming from whichever background, like whether it's art or whether it's social sciences or, you know, or an application you want to see in the industry happen, if you have an idea, a creative idea to implement, you definitely can. And what I want to say is, like, it's more and more accessible right now to, you know, for all aspects. And as long as people have a creative idea, go to anyone who might know a bit about ML or, you know, look at some of the videos or podcasts, and maybe sometimes even in 5-6 lines of code, you know, you can have some pre-trained model performing a task that you actually wanted to do. So it's quite accessible.
Okay, good. So let's try to do a kind of a wrap up what we did. So we started with the question, what is machine learning? We heard that it's a subset of artificial intelligence. We should have a closer look on ML because it's getting more and more, and we still need humans to ensure the quality of the training data. We had quite a lot of examples where ML is used in software even without recognizing it, because it's all going in the background and we're just wondering, how does my phone know that I talked about, I don't know, going to Ibiza 2 days ago, and now it shows me advertisement for this and so.
Indeed.
Okay, now that we are nearly the end of this episode, we have a better understanding on what machine learning is. I think we will probably come up with further episodes where we dive deeper into some special topics related to machine learning.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. It was super, super nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
For our listeners, let us know how you liked the episode, especially the English version. And yeah, let's see if we're going to do more episodes like this.
Thank you then. Bye.